Well, this is part four of what the Lord's put on my heart to get us ready for revival. Because we're expecting more, aren't we? You know, one day we're going to be filled to busting at the seams. And we can prepare by buying more chairs and knocking out walls. Lord help us. And, you know, increasing all that we have for the kids and the teens, maybe even putting a second layer on the parking out there. We can do all that, but if our hearts aren't ready, all that is worthless. Because when they come in, we are the ones that are going to minister to them. So we got to know our stuff, people. We have to know the word and know what the Lord's speaking and what how he's encouraged us in these days, so we can encourage those that come in and want encouragement. So, I always do this, and you have to do it from your heart. You have the door to your heart. There's a passage in Revelation that says Jesus is standing at the door knocking. Well, why doesn't he just kick the door down? Because he doesn't do that. And neither does the Holy Spirit. And he needs permission to come and do remodeling in our hearts and identifying lies maybe we believed and teaching us the truth. So let's give him permission. Holy Spirit, I know you're here already, but you are welcome in our hearts. Some of us have built up walls in our heart, walls of protection. You're welcome to break them down. Some of us have believed lies about you, or about Father God, about Jesus. We invite you to identify lies that we're living under and speak the truth. We invite you to be who you are in our hearts, our helper, our counselor, the one that stands by us. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what the Lord put on my heart here for today has to do with David from the Bible. I have a brother, David. He's in heaven. But this is not about my brother. This is about David in the Bible. And I got to thinking about him. He was the only person that God said, and this is in Acts 13, 22, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And this is what identifies a man after God's heart, who will do all my will. But what I saw is he knew him personally. He knew who his daddy was. He wasn't talking about just any David. He was talking about David, the son of Jesse. So that brings my mind back to the Psalms, because most of them, or a lot of them, were written by him. You know, they were written over 3,000 years ago. I think what we're reading when we read the Psalms are David's journals. He had some hard stuff going on. He had wars. He had people that loved him. He had people that hated him. He had people that were trying to kill him. He had some issues. He had to learn to trust the Lord. And what we see in so many of the Psalms is his journaling. Okay, the one I flipped to just this morning, it's Psalm 3. Lord, how have they increased that trouble me? Hello, could that have been written today? Many are those who rise up against me. Many are those who say of me, there's no help for him in God. My goodness, he could be writing to us, year 2021, right now. But then what David does is he grabs a hold of his bootstraps and says what's in his heart. But you, O Lord, you're a shield for me. You're my glory. You're the one who lifts my head. I cried to the Lord. We have. If you haven't, go ahead, do it. It's okay. Tell him what's on your heart. I want to encourage you, if you've never journaled, to do it. I have discovered time after time where, you know, something's just bothering you. You're not really sure what it is. I just get my paper out and start writing. Well, this is how I'm feeling. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to tell you my blah, blahs, okay? And then pretty soon, here comes the answer. Or here comes the Holy Spirit inside of me saying this, 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 this. And I write that down. I'm like, wow, now I know what was bothering me, and I know the solution for my heart. Now, this is what David did time after time after time. And I think about him. He only lived to be 80, so he had not a whole lot of years to do all this writing. And I was trying to picture if God called him in for an interview one day and said, son, you know, you're going to be king of Israel. They're going to hate you. They're going to try to kill you. They're going to love you. But I know your heart. I know your heart, and you will do my will. You're going to make mistakes, but I know in your heart. So would you please write down all your feelings and your thoughts? Because 3,000 years from now, there's going to be people in Michigan in 2021, they're going to go through hard stuff, and they will learn from you. Just think, if you and I wrote our stuff down, and I don't want mine published, but you know, do you think God said, David, I'm going to be putting together this book. It's going to be called a Bible, and it's going to have everything about me from the very beginning until the very end, and I want you in it. Now, David probably would have gone, well, I don't know if I want to write it down, if that's what's going to happen. But that is what happened. I mean, not the interview part. But what we read is David's heart. And this was a heart the Lord said, I know this man. He'll do everything I ask him to. He might have done it kicking and screaming the way some of us do. He might have dragged his feet. He might have been scared out of his wits sometimes. But the Lord said, I know. I know his heart. And I believe what the Lord wants for us in our getting ready is to develop a heart like David and to look at some of what he wrote and learn from it. It amazes me how the Lord could have somebody write something 3,000 years ago and today it fits. Only God could do that, because this book is alive. Is yours alive? You know, I wish I had some of those little jumping beans or something so I could open it for you and see all the words pop up, because it is that much alive. But I went through and I just looked for some of the main words that David said he learned, things he learned about God. Well, first of all, he learned how to meditate. The very first psalm, he said, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Day and night. Day and night. That means the word is on your mind, day and night. Meditating, thinking, mulling it over, talking to the Lord. What did you mean by that? And could you explain this to me? You know, when you ask him questions like that, he'll get you your answers. Yes? Are you shaking? Oh, okay. I couldn't hear anything up there if you were shaking your head. Yes. But it's so important. It is so very important to meditate on the word. And what David came up with, these are just a few things. God is a God of truth. Now, you got to answer this for yourself. Are you thoroughly convinced in your heart he cannot lie to you? Thoroughly convinced he cannot lie. Yes. Yes. I'm not asking you to answer me. This is you answer him. Because Sometimes we think we believe everything. Ask him, am I believing everything, Lord? Am I really? Am I embracing your word as though it's truth and you mean it for me? Next thing I saw was the names he had for God. Do you know him as the Lord of hosts? He's the Lord of angels. We have a song we sing, the God of Angel Armies. I can't picture that. I mean, I've seen drawings and paintings, but I really can't grasp that in my head. How big is he? He is the Lord God Most High. Not high, Most High. You don't get higher than Most High. He's it. He is it. He is strong. He is mighty. He's a refuge when we need it. He's a shield, strength, a fortress. He's our rock. He's not wobbly. We're standing on real solid ground when we're standing on the word. He's a light and he's our peace. This is what we have to think about as we face all these tomorrows that are scaring some people. We have to think about who our God is. And the Lord said, I want you to apply Psalm 23 to 2021 today. And I said, well, we all know that one. He said, bear with me. I thought, okay, Lord, I will. So, Psalm 23. I know that a lot of you probably know this by heart. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He said, stop. Start over. The Lord is my shepherd. I thought, my shepherd. Wow. He said, start over. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord of angel armies. The Lord God Almighty, that there is none stronger than. The Lord who is truth and cannot lie. That's the Lord. Him. He's my shepherd. You know, for him to be my shepherd, that takes an agreement on our part. Because I have to agree to follow. But he's agreeing to lead. And be my shepherd and take care of me. This God who is so big he could create a universe by speaking words has agreed by his word here to be our shepherd. You know, if we knew that in our heart, would we ever worry about anything? We wouldn't, because he's our, and we already know he's good and we already know he's truth. He's going to take care of me. It's not just, well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No, the Lord, woo, he's my shepherd. He's the one who said, I will take care of you. And because I'm your shepherd, you shall not want. Wow. Is that good or what? I shall not want. Man, that's everything we need. We wonder, are we going to run out of goods and things if the trucks can't get in? And who knows? There's so many possibilities as to why stuff is not on the shelves anymore. And I'm not even going to go into that. He said, I shall not want, because he's my shepherd. But if he's my shepherd, I must follow him. Yeah, you can be one of those sheep that, you know, he's got to get that crook out, you know, to, whoop, come on, little sheep. You're going to fall off the cliff there. And that's why those, you know, shepherd's hooks got the hook, because some sheep are stupid. I probably have marks on my neck when he rescued me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh my goodness. Can you relate this to Jesus who said, come on to me and rest? Yes. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. They're both here. They're both here in Psalm 23. Will you go to him and rest? Will you really do it? Will you shut your mind down and go to him and breathe? And rest. You know, when we get anxious, if you could just sit down for a couple minutes and breathe, 5 seconds in and 5 seconds out, it's amazing how it clears your head. It's amazing. But my shepherd says, you come to me. I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures. Man, I'm going to have a place to lie down that's going to be cushy for me. And he's going to feed me. I'm going to lay right there and I'm going to lay down and I'm going to eat my lunch in bed. I mean, I picture little sheep doing that. He leads me beside still waters. Peaceful. Jesus said, I'm your peace. We have nothing to get anxious about if we're following our shepherd. So far, he's giving us everything we need. He's given us a place to lay down. He's providing all the goods. He's giving us rest. And then he restores our soul. Why does he restore our soul? Because it needs restoration. Because he knows we've been watching the news. He knows we've been on the phone jabbering to people. What do you think about this? Well, what do you think about this? Well, what do you think about this? He wants us to go to him and say, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And once our soul is restored, now he leads us in paths of righteousness. What's a path of righteousness? Is it like a road sign that says righteous path, go this way? Righteousness is doing the right thing. Righteousness is walking the way the Lord wants you to, the way that your shepherd is directing you. He leads you in your path of righteousness. And that makes me think of 2 Corinthians 5:21, where Jesus gave us his righteousness. I think they were in this thing together. They worked together. They had harmony here. Wow. And he does this for his name's sake. What's his name? The Lord God Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of angel armies. What is his name? Strength, might, glory. That's why he does it, because of who he is. Yes, he does it because he loves us, but even that, he loves us because of who he is. Yes. Can we be in a safer place? Then he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil. Your path of righteousness, following your shepherd, could take you to dangerous places. Just because you're in a place that's very trying and very difficult does not mean you're not following him. We have to know that. How do I say this without... There have been teachings that lead people to believe, if I have faith and I believe and I speak, and if anything bad happens, I just rebuke it and it goes away. My shepherd might lead me to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I might be following him and go into this difficult area. If you know you're following him and you get to that place that some people would say, well, you must have made God mad. You must be out of his will or those bad things wouldn't happen. I'm sorry. That's not accurate. That's not accurate. And that's why you have to know that you're following him. Otherwise, man, what are we all doing here in 2021? We should have been beamed out in 2019. He knew we'd be here right now. And this is difficult, and there's a lot of evil going on. But he said, even though you walk through that, you will fear no evil. We don't have to be afraid. It's so easy to get sucked in and be afraid. You don't have to be afraid if you're following your shepherd. You don't have to be. He doesn't want you to live in fear. 1 John says, perfect love, that's Jesus, that's our Father, casts out fear. If I'm sticking close, I'm so close to him, what have I got to be afraid of? Nothing. Nothing. And I fear no evil because you're with me. Wow, I got a shepherd that is with me. He leads me, he guides me, he points me, he feeds me, he restores me, and he doesn't leave saying, hey, you know what, I just looked and the sheep are all taking a nap, you know, I'm going to go kick back here and I'm going to take a break. No, he doesn't. He's here, right now, sitting in the chair with each one of you. I mean, just think about that. He's sitting right there. He's that close. Actually, he's closer because the Holy Spirit's inside. Are we safe?
Yes.
Yes. Are we taken care of?
Yes.
Are our needs met?
Yes.
Do we have to worry about it?
No.
Will he tell us what to do?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Wow. Deliverance from evil. Jesus conquered the devil. He disarmed and put them under his feet. Why would we be afraid of that?
We shouldn't.
The only reason we would fear is because we took our eyes off of the Lord and put them on all this stuff that's going on. Oh my gosh. And we went over there for a while. I don't even think we can afford to visit over there. We really can't. Don't visit the enemy's camp. You don't need to. We used to sing a song about that. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. It was a good song. But today, don't go to the enemy's camp. Don't go. Don't go. And then it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. How comforting is it to know that if we get off track, we've done our best to follow him. And we get off track and we do something, we get over there and we realize, you know what? This was just my own will. I got off here. Now what do? His rod and his staff are comfort. That's what how he corrects us. He doesn't yell at us. He doesn't get mad. He's like Siri. Siri says, go straight for a half a mile and turn left. And you don't. She doesn't say, hey! You in the driver's seat. I said, turn left back there. Now what do you want me to do? She doesn't do that. It's just very calmly, she makes a course correction. Now turn around at the next corner. And then she gets you right back. You know, I think so many times we want to do that with people when we see they're taking a wrong turn. And if the Lord puts on your heart to give them a warning, give them a warning. But don't beat them up. The church often beats up the sheep. We don't want to be a church that beats sheep. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. I don't want you beating me up. You know, the Lord knows we do our best, and sometimes we do stupid, and he has forgiveness for any of it, for all of it, and he has course correction for all of it. All of it. Now, it says in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Yes.
The lines between light and dark are getting clearer and clearer.
Yes. Yes.
Those that are anti-Christ anti-God, anti-us. Those lines are getting so clear, and they know what we believe. And the Lord says, I will furnish you all I'm going to give you in the presence of your enemies. Yes. It's not so you can go, na 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 na. That wouldn't be right. But they need to see it's okay to believe in God, and he takes care of his kids. He takes care of those that are following him. And they will observe it. They might not like what they see. They might try to ignore it. They might even get mad at you. That's their issue. But he does this. He doesn't do it in hiding. He does it in the presence of our enemies.
Yes.
They will see the goodness of God. They will see it.
Hallelujah.
What they'll do with it will be between them and him. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. He has anointed us with the Holy Spirit, with joy. We can run over with that, even today, even with our situation. We can do that. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. We sang the song. It's running after us. The goodness of God is running after us. You know who it's running after? Those who are following the shepherd.
Yes.
Those who are not following the shepherd are going to miss some of it. We got to think about that. Do I want goodness and mercy to follow me? I have to follow the shepherd. I have to let him correct me. I have to let him feed me and restore me. I have to rest when he says rest. And go when he says go. Goodness, his goodness, his mercy will follow me for a little while until you do something bad. No, all the days of my life. All the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yes.
Forever.
Yes.
Forever. Forever, forever. Our future, could it be any brighter? Could it be any brighter? I don't know how. Even today. Are things scary? Yeah, yeah. But follow your shepherd. What's your shepherd telling you to do? Is he telling you to get active? Taking an active stand, maybe a political stand, then do it. If he's not telling you to do it, don't do it. We can all take the stand in prayer. We can all stand against the enemy in prayer. We're probably not all called to be on school boards or city council in the political arena, but we can all write letters. Make phone calls. We can all pray. But if he wants you to do more than that, will he tell you?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he wants us to know him so intimately. The passage in Daniel gets quoted a lot. Daniel, I think it's chapter 11, where it says, and those that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It's how good we know him as to what the exploits will be. How good do you know him? Do you have intimate time with him? Do you hang out with him?
Yes.
John 17:3, Jesus said, for this reason, this is the reason. I'm going to read it right. This is eternal life, that they, us, all his disciples, may know you intimately. This is by experience, to know by experience, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He wants intimate time with you. You know, that takes turning your phone off. Yeah, you can do it. We've gotten so used to it. It's almost Velcroed to us. Now, I bet you when we go to lunch, it won't happen now because I'm saying so. We'll sit there, eat, and everybody will have their phone out. It's just normal. It's what our culture has turned into. I can't be intimate with the person on the phone and with God at the same time. But he wants us to experience. Did you experience him in worship here today?
Yes.
Without the phone. Praise God. Praise God. Did he touch your heart?
Yes.
Do you have times like that at home?
Yes.
Or is it just here? Some people don't have the, maybe they didn't know they can get into that place with him at home alone. You can. You can, and he wants you to. Because the more I know what his presence feels like, the more I won't step outside of it.
Amen.
The closer I am to him and knowing he's here all the time, the more clearly I will hear him. When somebody knocks at the door, hey, let us in. Lord, what do I do? I got to hear him. I can't quit go, oh. And this thing, one thing I ask of you, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Oh, not that one. How about this one? I can't do that. Oh. Woe to her who's rebellious and polluted. No, not that one, Lord. When we need to get an answer now, it's not going to come like that. It's going to come based on your relationship with him. And that you know what he's saying. And you know what to do. Like this morning when Bookie had that word. She heard him. She had to come up here and share it with Lonnie, and then got the okay, but she heard him sitting right back there. She heard what he was saying. In the worship, it's gorgeous. It was so beautiful the way we're just singing in the Spirit. You know why we were singing in the Spirit? Because Carmina and Holly were tuned in together to the same Spirit. And did you notice how they sang differently, but yet it blended? It was beautiful. And the only way you get to be able to do that is by relationship, by just hanging out with him. If you turn your iPhone on or wherever you get your music, your internet, and there's a song that touches your heart, play it twice, three, four, five, 25 times a day, because that's the Holy Spirit doing something in there. And he wants intimacy so badly with all of us. Oh my goodness. The Creator that said, let there be, and there was, and made everything perfect, and then Adam and Eve sinned. He already had a plan. He knew it was going to happen because he knows things ahead of time. The price that was paid for us to go back to that place and have that kind of intimacy, we can walk and talk with him. And you clearly know what he's saying. The price that Jesus paid, the price that God paid, do you think it didn't hurt God to turn his back on his son? Terrible. How great is this love he has for us? It's out of the box. Can you not be intimate with that? If you have built a wall around your heart to keep out hurt, people that have hurt you, if you don't let that down, it'll keep lots of things out that you want in. A wall is a wall is a wall. And the Holy Spirit wants to break down walls. In you and you and you and me. He wants to identify them and obliterate them. And many of us don't even know they're there. Because out of protection, maybe when we were kids or something, I said, nobody's going to hurt me again like that. Never. Never. And here comes the little bricks around our heart, and we're protected now. So you can throw stones at me, but it's not going to hurt me. Nope, I'm protected. But the love can't get in. I ministered to a young man about that once. He was kind and loving, but he couldn't receive it. And I said, did something bad happen? And he said, yeah. I said, you want to talk about it? No. And I said, it will help you if you would. Nope. I said, you know you're keeping a lot of good out. Yep. I said, and you're going to do it anyway? Uh-huh. You know, we have to be willing. Willing to let the Holy Spirit do what only He can do, and He is so good at it. He is so good at it. I guess I'm getting into a little counseling stuff here, but I'm going to keep going for a minute. Because we don't want to talk about those things. Because after all, I built the wall because it hurt. If you don't let the Holy Spirit break it down, it's still hurting you. It's still hurting. Might as well let it hurt one more time while you're talking it out with Him. And get past it. Get past it. You can have a private meeting with the great counselor and talk. Write it down. See what He says back to you. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be so close. Some of us live like maybe a married couple that never consummates their marriage. Oh, really? Yeah. No intimacy. He's the husband, we're the bride. He wants inside of every one of us. Every one of us. He wants to show us love like we've never seen before, like we've never felt before. That's what He wants. And you get to say yes or no. Deep down, because you're Him, you're His, and He's in you. You want it. So I just want to encourage you, if it's been difficult for you, tell Him right where you're at. I want to, but I don't want to. Or I want to, but I'm not there yet. He will take your wall down a brick at a time. He will go as fast as you'll let Him go. Why do we need this for revival? Because the people that are coming in, we're going to come in with people with walls. They're going to come in here. We're going to be able to help them. And it's so much easier to help somebody when you've already had the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help you. Amen. And we're going to love them in their mess because He loved us in our mess. And we're not going to push them away because they're messy and sticky and dirty. Because the Lord found us when we were like that. Wow, what mercy. What love. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's 12:15. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for ministering to every heart here. Every heart. What they need. The healing that they need. That nobody can do but you. Thank you. Holy Spirit, have your way here now. Have your way. I just sense the Holy Spirit is going to be giving you private counsel time right now. You're in your prayer closet. You can close your eyes, bow your head. Nobody's going to look at you. Let him have his way in your heart. Ask him right now, silently, what do you want to say to me? You know what I'm going through, Holy Spirit. I need help. I need clarity. I'm in a difficult place in my marriage with my kids. I need clear direction. I'm listening. Holy Spirit, I'm hooked on pornography. Help me be free. Holy Spirit, my marriage is a disaster. Show me what I need to do in it. Thank you for leading me in your truth. For me, so personal, for me, right now. My heart's bitter, Holy Spirit. Somebody hurt me and I can't get past it. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. I want to be the son, and I want to be the daughter you want me to be, that you called me to be, that you identify in your word. I need help. I don't even like reading the Bible. I need help. I want to. I'm dealing with physical stuff. The doctor's report's not been good. Help me to be a good receiver. Holy Spirit, would you just talk to me about Jesus? Oh, I know what he did for me. I've read it all, but I want it to be real in my heart. Real. Real. He bore my cross, the one I should have been crucified on. Let me see that clearly, what he did for me. Thank you. Thank you for always standing by me when I've been right and when I've been wrong. Thank you. Help me to depend on you, to invite you into every day, to invite you into every decision and never make one without you, to acknowledge you and your wisdom as being greater than mine. Holy Spirit, I must tell you, I don't know what I'm going to do when all these people come in that need you so badly. I want my heart so full of your love. I know the word says it's there, but I don't always feel it. Help me to acknowledge it, to activate it, that love that I need for those coming in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Holy Spirit, I know you're in me all the time, 24/7. Would you remind me when I'm out there thinking on my own? Would you remind me when I'm using my own wisdom instead of yours? Would you remind me when I'm about to open my mouth and say something that is not kind and loving? Thank you. I'm so glad I don't have to live without you. I'm so thankful for you in my heart, in my life, the Spirit of God in me. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Let me never forget what a precious gift you are. What a precious, precious gift. Jesus said, man, it's so far better that I leave here so you can have the Holy Spirit. I don't always think about you like that, but help me to. Help me to. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I give you permission. Get my attention whenever I need it. I know you're kind and you're gentle. I trust you. If Jesus could trust you, I can trust you. You filled him and I see all the good things he did. I want to be filled to overflowing like he was. So those gifts just pour out of me that I can't help but love. And I can't help but lay my hands on the sick. Thank you for helping me to be conformed to the image of what Jesus is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, I pray that you had a good counseling session with the Holy Spirit. You can do that anytime. Anytime. Turn on some worship music. Get in his presence. And just talk it out with him. You know, the more we get used to that, the more our junk and stuff is just going to fall by the wayside. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Wow, is he good. Wow, is he good. He's our shepherd. Woohoo! Wow.